You guys don't have to be so excited. Jeepers. I don't get to do that this often. Actually, I got here really early and I started worrying where the guest pastor was. So I do thank you for the opportunity to take the next step in my journey, if I can call it that. It is... It's exciting and a little overwhelming, and I'm glad I'm walking it with you guys and with our Lord, and I certainly believe in getting out of the way and letting the Holy Spirit speak. So, Holy Spirit, it's all yours. Why am I a Catholic? Interesting question. At first glance, the easier question for me and perhaps for many of us is, why am I not a Catholic? About 40 years ago, I was best man at my good friend's wedding. We were longtime Presbyterian buddies, having grown up in my father's church. He was marrying a lovely Catholic woman, so I found myself standing at the front of a monster-sized cathedral, feeling very uncomfortable and very out of place. It was a full mass. When it came time for communion, the whole wedding party was invited by the priest to partake. I was told to remain standing where I was. He then invited the congregation to come forward. When I looked back, the bride's side all came forward. The groom's side, including my family, remained seated. Not a particularly good introduction to Catholic Mass. Now fast forward 20 years or so, give or take. Our door-store and Southern California economy in general were experiencing yet another recession. For those of you that are counting, that was the second one of the three that my store encountered. Store was having a difficult time surviving. I had been wondering for a while whether God wanted us to continue. On this particular day, I had accepted an invitation to measure and quote prices for several custom historical doors at Sacred Heart School for Girls in La Cañada, Flint Ridge. As I drove to the top of the hill and onto the campus, I was surprised at the physical size of the school. I arrived at the administration building about 20 minutes early for my appointment. While I waited, I wandered down the corridor and entered a very large meeting room of some sort. Everything in there seemed larger than life. The tall ceiling, the wooden chairs and tables, the fireplace. Around the room were huge portraits of important Catholic men, the current pope of the time, various saints that had gone on before, the huge crucifix in one section of the room, Mother Mary and baby Jesus in another. I walked around the room, pausing to study each painting, each statue. I began to talk to God almost without thinking about it. His presence seemed palpable to me in this room. I came away realizing that God was showing me there is a need for our kind of door and window expertise. There were so many windows and doors within just a few feet of the front door of this room. And yes, in case anybody's wondering, we did get the job. Did I really sense the presence of God in that room of all places? Yeah, I did. Fast forward again to our trip to Paris, France. We were captivated by the magnificent cathedrals, the wonderful history, stained glass windows, the masonry work, the artifacts, real or symbolic, even the reverence and passion shown Mary. Did we feel God in these places? Yeah, we did. So now what do I do? I guess I give a sermon titled, Why Am I a Catholic? Who could have seen that coming? When I started this a couple of weeks ago, and Bill asked me, excuse me, I'm tugging on this a little bit too much. Bill asked, told me that in the series I was going to get this particular topic. I kind of tilted my head and looked at him. And it took me a week to figure out that I can't do a thesis on Catholicism and the Catholic Church in 15 minutes. It's going to be 18, but anyway, I still couldn't do it. And so I had to kind of get my head around what I could say today that would be relevant. And maybe what I'm trying to do here today is to make being a Catholic a little bit more relatable. We continue our series using a book titled A Generous Orthodoxy. Pastor Bill, the last several weeks, has shared about evangelical Christians and charismatic Christians and how we can learn from them. This morning, we'll explore a bit of how we can learn from Catholic Christians as well. Scripture is from Matthew 16, 13 through 20. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, Who do people say the Son of Man is? They replied, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. But what about you, he said, who do you say I am? Simon Peter answered, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus replied, blessed are you, Simon Peter, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Then he warned his disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Christ. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray together. Lord God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable and pleasing to you. Amen. Okay, before we get too far, I think it's important to look at a brief history of our church coming out of the early church. The Holy Catholic Church was born out of the early church in the book of Acts. Its structure was heavily based on Greek and Roman thinking. From the Romans came a form of military hierarchy or ranking system. People in groups were arranged according to rank, grade, and class, and they were, and they are, accorded the privileges based on that rank. From the Greeks came patriarchy, which was a society led by older men having authority over the members. Peter, the rock, as Jesus called him, moved to Rome and became the bishop, the regional leader. His title was later changed to that of Pope, making him the first pope. Today, the Roman Catholic Church claims a direct line of succession from their current leader, Pope Francis, all the way back to Peter. Just a side note, if anyone's interested, you should look up Pope Francis' official title. It is quite grand. Took a paragraph, so I left it out. As Rome declined, the church grew. And about a thousand years later, in 1054, the church divided into the Eastern Orthodox Greeks and the Western Roman Catholic Church. Less than 500 years go by, and the Protestant Reformation began with Martin Luther and his 95 Theses. Basically, it was when Luther posted on the door of a Catholic church in Germany 95 reasons why the Catholic Church was missing the boat. In 1517, as the Reformation developed, there was a five-way split. Saving you all the details, suffice to say that the Reformed Church was one of them. It was in Switzerland with John Calvin and others. Shortly after that, this group divided three ways. Congregational Church of England, the Dutch Reformed Church in the Netherlands, and around 1559, the Presbyterian Church of Scotland with John Knox. From Scotland, the Presbyterian Church came to America in 1706. I don't know about you. However, I'm pretty sure there are some distinctively Catholic practices that I am never going to be able to wrap my head around. I suspect many of you have similar difficulty, especially given the number of Catholic transplants that call our church family home. The whole Pope, priests, us hierarchy. I understand the Roman and Greek influences on the church, on the Catholic Church. I do. And I love what I know about Pope Francis. I would love to spend personal time with him. He certainly seems to be the right person for the job in this time and place. And were not many of us really excited by his visit and encouraged by his message of hope in the bringing of God's light to the world as we serve with goodness and tenderness in the name of Jesus? Most of the priests I've had the pleasure to interact with have been wonderful men of God, working diligently to bring about the kingdom of God on this earth. Yet, I continue to struggle with the Roman Catholic Church's God, Pope, priests, us hierarchy. And for all you Catholics, I left out a bunch of names that are on that list before us just for the reason of brevity. Let's talk about the Presbyterian communion table, our communion table. It is a table for all who want to partake of the sacrament of communion. Is not so in the Roman Catholic Church. And while I do appreciate that non-Catholics can now receive a blessing from the priest during communion, we cannot partake of the sacrament. For a host of reasons, I have difficulty with this. And I'm sure I could go on speaking about things I do not completely understand. Thankfully for you and me, I'm not going to. Instead, I'm going to call us back to the Apostles' Creed, one of the creeds all Christian churches confess. I'm calling us back there specifically to remember the statement, "We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church." We believe in one holy, universal church. And I have a dot, dot, dot after that. Perhaps not such an easy statement to agree with. Certainly not all the time. I really like what Connie Peake has to say about what we believe as Presbyterians. She writes, "I believe that as long as the different denominations work together and recognize their common purpose, it's not a bad thing to have different denominations. Each person has unique needs when it comes to worship and the personal expression of their beliefs and is more comfortable and better served in one denomination than another. It depends on personality, experience. I'm going to throw in culture. I'm also going to throw in convenience. It's also what is familiar. A generous orthodoxy suggests a similar idea. It urges us to look beyond the divisions and differences to the church unity beneath. The more we can do this, the more we will be able to grow beyond our differences. As usual, I learn much when preparing a sermon. Today is no different. Jesus Christ is the Son of God, holy God, holy human. The Holy Catholic Church believes this. We do too. The Catholic Church believes the Old Testament and the New Testament work together to create the Bible. Us too. Catholic Church believes the Bible is inspired by the Holy Spirit and written by human hands. Wow, us too. Catholic Church believes the four Gospels work together to give a complete picture of the life and work of Jesus. Us too. Catholic Church believes the church decided which books were to be included in the Bible and which were not, with the help of the Holy Spirit. We believe that too. The Catholic Church does not believe in the literal translation of the Bible. Us either. The Catholic Church believes Jesus Christ showed us that God was, is, and always will be present to us. Us too. The Catholic Church is sacramental. Us too. They have a whole lot more sacraments than we do. However, the two we share are communion and baptism. They believe learning that a few things are sacred helps them open up to believe that all good things are sacred. We believe that if we could see another person as God sees them, we would be tempted to bow down and worship them. I often lead us in prayer, thanking God for all the good things in our lives. For we know that all good things come from God. It is not much of a leap to see God in all good things. A church family, good friend, good conversation, beautiful sunset. For some of us, a perfect wave, a good anthem. Today was wonderful. Thank you. Dare I say a good sermon? Amen. I love that. That could be louder. Dad would always smile when people would say amen at one of his sermons. It was great to see. What about a good cup of coffee? Good glass of wine? A smile, a hug? Grandkids. A marriage therapy session in which you have a breakthrough. Make your own list. Perhaps we can pay attention and grow this part of our Catholic side. The Catholic Church is liturgical. Us too. Liturgical is primarily responsive readings to us Presbyterians. Admittedly, we are not nearly as liturgical as Catholics. Still, I think a well-thought-out, well-crafted responsive reading or prayer is a gift. And perhaps it wouldn't be so bad if we used some of our most special responsive readings over again to become more familiar with them, like the Catholics do. The Catholic Church worships Mary. No, they don't. We don't either. the Catholic Church reveres Mary.
Yeah,
they do. We don't. However, during our Paris trip, my wife and I were fortunate enough to see the celebration of the Assumption of Mary into heaven. They celebrate it on August 15. Statues of Mary and of baby Jesus were carried up and down the shore of the Seine River with much singing and celebration. Eventually, it culminated at the doors of Notre Dame, where we were swept into the cathedral with the rejoicing crowd. We could not help getting caught up in the excitement and the celebration of Mary. The Catholic Church sees Mary as the premier example of perfect submission to God. High praise. If any of you have gotten the latest National Geographic, Mary is on the cover with the caption, "The most powerful woman in the world." Mary is the premier example of perfect submission to God. Her words, "I am the Lord's servant. Let it be according to your word." Catholics would tell us that we are called upon, like Mary, to bear Christ in our bodies, and then through us to God's world. I'm not sure I want or need to take this idea back to Mary. However, we certainly believe the Holy Spirit works in us and through us for the kingdom of God. Perhaps if we take some time to study Mary a little more, we might learn a few things that God wants us to know. The Catholic Church speaks first with imagery to describe God. This perhaps helps to explain the cathedrals, the statues, the incense, and other things associated with Catholic Mass. Us Presbyterians tend to speak of God first with words and concepts. I'm not advocating statues or incense, although I find myself not against either one particularly. I am suggesting that we can certainly relate to the use of imagery. Look around us. Our banners, our stained glass windows. We had signs posted during our stewardship campaign to remind us. The Catholic faith is expressed through action in the world. Our faith too. We are both apostolic churches. Translation, we are both missional churches. We believe God calls us to equip each other to go out and be Christ in the world. The Catholic Church likes to party. So do us Presbyterians. I'm just saying. The Catholic Church traces its lineage directly back to Peter, the first pope. It seems very important to them. Might I suggest that we as Christians can trace our lineage directly back to Jesus, Simon Peter, Peter the Pope, and the rest of the disciples as well. And that is so very important to all Christians. I close with what most accept as a quote from Peter himself. It is found in 2 Peter 1, 3 through 7. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. Through these, He has given us His very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. For this reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness, knowledge, and to knowledge, self-control, and to self-control, perseverance, and to perseverance, godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love. Peter reminds us, even before he became the first pope, that God calls all Christians to love. This love is the kind of outgoing, selfless attitude that leads us to sacrifice for the good of others. It is not exclusive to one denomination or another. All Christians are called to love with action in bringing about God's kingdom here on earth. Amen.